Luke 15:11-32. Then he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.
The word of the Lord from Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Thank you, D. Mitchell, for reading that, and for Dick Kennard for producing that video. And while I look this way, before I start with the sermon, I want to just say I see two brand new babies that have been born in the last month right over here. So Megan Duncan and Kaylee and Tommy Oaks, could you stand with your precious babies so everyone can see? Look at these babies. Let's give them a round of applause. We love babies. Keep up the good work. You guys do good work. You know, last week, Natalie Working, who works for International Foursquare, spoke to us about the importance of reaching Generation Z and how different that generation is from us in so many ways. And, you know, as a church, it's really important for us to recognize that every generation is important to God, that there's not a single generation, there's not a single age group that is more important or less important. And we need to be all hands on deck to do what God's called us to do, to reach the generations. If you feel that your time has passed, I would say pray. If you feel like you can't do as much as you used to do, pray. Pray that your generation will be reached, and pray that the younger generations be reached. If you feel you're too young to do anything, pray and do what you can and partner. You know, we want to see all generations reach. And this message today actually flows directly out of what I introduced before Natalie spoke last week. We're talking about the condition of the older son's heart, that one that we just heard about in this story. Not the son that ran away, but the son that stayed home. because this parable is traditionally called the parable of the prodigal son, but it's probably more accurately called the parable of the two lost sons. The parable of the father's love for his family is my favorite title for it, and I made that one up. Because in Jesus' parable that we just heard, neither son, neither the younger son or the older son, is submitting to the father in his heart. Neither is fulfilling his responsibilities as a member of the father's household. How could they be? They're distracted. Both sons in this story are lost, distracted, too busy focusing on their entitlements and their inheritance, on what they could get from the father. They were too busy focusing on the father's hand to look at the father's eyes, to know his heart. Anytime you're in relationship with someone and you see their eyes leave your eyes or not focus, you know when they're not focused on knowing you. They're wanting something from you or they're distracted. Both sons in this parable that Jesus taught are doing their own thing while claiming their status and their rewards of being members of God's household. In this case, the Father's household. Because in this story, the Father represents God. But they're not desiring to be with the Father, and we see at the end so very clearly in the words of the older son, they're not desiring to be with one another either. If each son represented a church, we'd say that both churches are off mission. The church of the younger son is a church of lawlessness, licentiousness. It's the I will approve you and affirm you and welcome you no matter what. You don't need to repent. You don't need to submit to God's word. You just be who you are. There's no repentance there. We call that cheap grace, licentiousness. And now the other church, though, the church of the older son, is also just as off. It's a church of law. It's a church of legalism. It's a church of moralism and self-righteousness. It's a church that's working out its justification through its sanctification, which is the opposite of what grace is. See, the Father's church is the only church that's a gospel church, a church that proclaims the amazing good news that God came to rescue and deliver humanity from their sin so that they may live in a relationship with Him in a way that pleases Him. You see, neither the church of lawlessness or the church of law is a church of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The older son is so busy being good that he's distancing himself from God with his self-righteous moralism. Jesus used the older son. Remember, the whole context of this is Luke 15, 1 to 2. The Pharisees are grumbling because Jesus is having table fellowship with sinners, the tax collectors. And so he tells three parables back to back. Parable of the lost sheep, parable of the lost coin, parable of the lost sons. He sets up a searching motif, a searching imagery on purpose. And he's using repetition on purpose because he's a master teacher. He's setting up a pattern so that you create an anticipation within you. You're anticipating something when you get to the parable of the lost son. Jesus used the older son to describe the Pharisees who were more in love with their ideas and traditions about God than with God himself. Have you been more interested in learning something from the Bible rather than experiencing God? This is a very dangerous place to be, as it's easy to get off God's mission when your ideas and your traditions about God start defining your focus more than God is prioritizing your focus on a daily basis. When your ideas and your traditions and your churchianity is more important to you than Jesus, there's a problem. The younger son, on the other hand, is so busy being free to do what he wants to do that he is also distancing himself from the Father with his free-for-all, I can do it my way, no one can tell me what to do attitude and lifestyle. Jesus used the younger son in this story to describe the tax collectors and the sinners who want nothing to do with the household of God and all those older brothers. Who would want to hang out with a bunch of self-righteous moralists? This is also, this younger son, just like the older son, was also in a very dangerous place because in his pursuit of absolute freedom, he found that being his own master was the worst form of slavery. Being mastered by your own flesh. Christ did not die on the cross so that you can be free to do whatever you want to do. Jesus died on the cross so that you may be free from sin to live for righteousness in his easy yoke of discipleship. And you will find rest for your souls. Brothers and sisters, there's no rest for your soul in a younger son church, and there's no rest for your soul in an older son church. For both are the gutters of religion and irreligion. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is neither religion nor irreligion. It's God coming to man. God coming and restoring his family. The gospel is not about us. The gospel is all about God and what he's done for us. And when the church forgets that, we lose a lot. Both groups, the tax collectors and the Pharisees, are being selfish. Both groups are being selfish because neither is focused on being with the Father. Neither is focused on desiring what the Father wants, what the Father's will for their lives is. Both were off mission. That's the theme of this message. You're going to hear it over and over again. That's why we have banners up on belonging. Because to belong to the household of God is to be on mission with Jesus Christ. And why God the Father sent his son Jesus Christ to restore his family. We belong to Jesus who is the head and to one another as fellow members to be on mission to do what Jesus came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. Both heart conditions of this lawlessness, licentiousness, or this legalism, self-righteous, law-based, neither of those is on mission because neither of those is doing the work of the gospel. By the end of this story, what we learn is we learn what it means to be on mission. Because do you know who demonstrates to us the gospel of Jesus Christ in this story? The Father. The Father. Why is it that people who claim to be followers of Christ so often end up unsympathetic to the very people who are in need of finding Christ? Why is it for those who have been saved and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ? How is it that we in our hearts become so callous, so unsympathetic, so unempathetic towards those who are in need of the restorative, loving, graceful work of Jesus Christ? That's why we're studying the heart condition of the older son. For we have to see, Jesus gives us this parable as a diagnostic. So that we can see, until you have had an experience of the Father's grace that has saved you from being lost, and just like with the younger son, we realize that the only way you can realize your need to be found is when you hit bottom. When you hit bottom and you find yourself in desperate need of a rescue that you cannot perform for yourself. Until that time, until you've experienced the grace of the Father, you will be distracted by your need to make your life work out for you the way you want your life to work out for you. And that's the problem with both of these kinds of churches. The older son, the younger son, and the older son, they're both trying to make their lives work out for them the way they want their life to work out for them. They're just using different means to try to make their life work. One's using moralism, one's using lawlessness. Freedom to do whatever I want to do. No one can tell me what I want to do. I got it going on, and I know the ticket. So let's examine the older son's heart condition. To do this, let's look at Matthew 21 as a lens. I believe that Jesus never misspoke, and I believe that Jesus always teaches in such a way that the word interprets the word. Scripture interprets scripture. I'm not the scripture interpreter here. The Holy Spirit is, and his word interprets the word. So Matthew 21 is called the parable of the two sons. You think this parable might be connected to the parable of the, what we call the parable of the prodigal son. Absolutely. It's not the same parable, but I believe this one helps us understand the other. So let's check this out. So Matthew 21, 28 to 32. Here we go. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in the vineyard." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward, he regretted it and went. The man came to the second and said the same thing, and he answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said the first. Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, and you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterward so as to believe him." Wow. Again, two sons. One seems to start off well by saying all the right things. "I'll do it, Dad." But he doesn't do it. He doesn't end well. The other doesn't start off so well. Starts off in rebellion. Says the wrong things, but then he repents and he ends well. Which is on mission? Which is the one that knows the Father's heart? Obviously, Jesus points it out to us. And he makes it very clear. He's talking about tax collectors and sinners, in this case, tax collectors and prostitutes, and the Pharisees and the religious. The one who does what the Father asks him to do is the one who's on mission. In this case, the one who is on mission is the one who first rebelled, but then repented. In the parable of the prodigal son, the older son is forever marked by his last words. So if you turn back to the parable of the prodigal son, back in Luke 15, you will see that the older son's final words are said in anger. And I'm not going to act them out, but I am going to add some emotion to them as accurate as I can to help us understand what was happening here. This is Jesus telling a parable, so this is a story to help us see a spiritual truth. So in verse 28, we see that the older son became angry and was not willing to go in, and his father came out and began pleading with him. Let me get a drink. Ready? Here he is. But he answered and said to his father, that first word, "Look," that is not a, "Dad, look, listen," that's a high, superior look. That is years of resentment building up, frustration. "Look, for so many years, I've been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," notice he doesn't say my brother, "but this son of yours came, who's devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." Do you hear it? Do you hear in his words, his own testimony about his heart condition? When you poke the bear, something comes out. And when the older son did not get what he felt what was coming to him, something came out. So let's look at the heart condition. The first thing you need to know about the older son is that he's self-righteous. He's a moralist. He's moralistic, and he feels he's superior to other people. It is obvious that the younger son is selfish. Obvious that the younger son was selfish with his actions. But what's not so obvious is how selfish the older son is. In a powerful article written by the seminary president of Southern Baptist Seminary, Dr. Albert Mohler, in an article called Why Moralism is Not the Gospel and Why So Many Christians Think It Is, Dr. Mohler said this about moralism. Please listen to this. This is a diagnosis for churches around the world. Most moralists would not claim to be without sin, but merely beyond scandal. That is considered sufficient. Just as parents rightly teach their children to obey moral instruction, the church also bears responsibility to teach its own the moral commands of God and bear witness to the larger society of what God has declared to be right and good for his human creatures. But these impulses, right and necessary as they are not the gospel. Indeed, and please hear this. This is Dr. Mohler. Indeed, one of the most insidious false gospels is a moralism that promises the favor of God and the satisfaction of God's righteousness to sinners if they will only behave and commit themselves to moral improvement. Oh, brothers and sisters, please hear this. Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ is not a make your life better plan. It is not a self-help plan. It is one thing. It is God's rescue of lost sinners to be redeemed and restored back into his household to do the work of his family, which is to seek and save those who are not yet brought back into his family. That is extremely different from moralism. In fact, moralism has done more damage to keep people from coming in because of our superior, moralistic, self-righteous persona and attitudes. The scandals of both the younger son and the older son are the same because both are sin. One son is a public failure, and I love, and I join with my brother Kevin, who said, there is great freedom in being a public failure. Because you no longer have to live as an older son. You're set free from the need to make anyone think that you've got it all together because everyone knows you don't. There's freedom there. And there's freedom in the gospel. One son is a public failure and the other son feels superior and is judgmental. What you really have to worry about between the younger son heart condition and the older son heart condition is the bitter root that grows in your heart every time you feel better than someone else and you judge them. Every time you feel superior to someone and you judge someone in your heart, that bitter root grows deeper. And it starts shaping the way you view yourself and the way you view the world. One author said it this way. Elder brother self-righteousness not only creates racism and classism, but at the personal level creates an unforgiving, judgmental spirit. This elder brother cannot pardon his younger brother because he does not see himself as being part of a common community of sinners. He's trapped by his own bitterness. It is impossible to forgive someone if you feel superior to him or her. Let me say that last part one more time. It is impossible to forgive someone if you feel superior to him or her. Jesus says to those in the older son condition very clearly in Matthew 23, 27 to 28. By the way, if you have not read Matthew 23 in a while, and if you feel any kind of conviction today, by the way, I felt tons of conviction all week working on this message. Read Matthew 23 so you can get an understanding of how Jesus feels about those in the older son heart condition. Listen to these words from Jesus to the Pharisees, those he's talking to in this parable as older sons. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Moralism is not just a false gospel, it is fundamentally opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were more than off mission, they were actually acting in ways opposed to the mission of God by putting barriers between the lost children and God. They were creating more inopportunities for people to come to know Jesus than they were creating opportunities. Church, we need to make sure that we allow the Holy Spirit to check our hearts for any moralism, for any self-righteousness, for any feelings of being superior to others. Because that takes us off mission and prevents us from creating inroads for the people of our community to come to hear the only gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the one that is about God rescuing lost sinners. The second thing we need to understand that will lead us, very importantly, to the final thing we need to know about the older son is this. The condition of the older son was not only a feeling of superiority, morality, like a morally superior to you, but he also felt entitled. Did you hear that? I mean, it was all throughout his words. The older son felt entitled to get from his father because of his work. Even though he was distant from the father and didn't pursue his father in a relationship, he felt because of his morality, because of his work, he felt entitled. What we see come out of the older son is just as rebellious and just as disrespectful as what came out of the younger son. It just was a different flavor. The younger son had selfishness and rebellion. The older son has self-righteousness and entitlement. Pastor Tripp, a very famous pastor, Pastor David Tripp, wrote this: entitlement always seems to follow pride. If you think you've earned this, then you will think you deserve this. Then, carrying around not only pride, but also entitlement, you will tend to turn blessings into demands and gifts of grace into what is to be expected. We must never forget that we have earned neither our standing with the Lord nor our place in ministry. Each moment that he accepts us and each situation in which he uses us are the result of one thing and one thing alone: grace. We have no right before God or others to self-assuredly stand with our hands out. We are independently entitled to nothing but God's anger. It is only grace that entitles us to his accepting love. The smug expectation of blessing will cause you to question not only the appreciation of the people around you, but also the goodness of God. The older son wanted his due. He wanted what he felt he deserved. He wanted what was coming to him so he could take it and celebrate it with his friends. Because of his morality, his self-righteousness, and his sense of entitlement, he didn't even want his brother, who he would not acknowledge anymore, or his father to be there with him. Can you imagine falling so in love with your ideas of God that you start mocking God with them? That the God that you say you worship and your traditions worship, you no longer even want to have anything to do with him. When he scandalizes you by grace, by receiving someone you don't think is deserving of it, and that causes you to question him, that is the older son heart condition. The older son's self-righteousness and entitlement fueled exclusivity based on who measured up, who's good enough to be here. It created heart barriers to be on mission. And the older son church is no longer on mission because it is now the determinant of who comes in and who is not allowed to come in. That church is now acting in the place of a sovereign God because they no longer trust the sovereign God's judgment. Only God determines who's in his church and who's out. And we're all going to be very surprised one day to find out the truth of that. The older son does not understand grace because he fundamentally thinks he's better than other people. And you will never understand God's grace as long as you think you're better than other people. If you look around this room right now and you see one person you think you're better than, then you need a re-education on grace. Because none of us deserve to be here. A single one of us deserves. I have no right to be up in this pulpit. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. You have no right to be in this house today. Only by God's grace, and that is the gospel. And if you don't get that, then you will not be on mission. You cannot be in mission as long as you think this is your entitlement. This is not your entitlement. This is grace. This is nothing but grace. Grace. Jesus saved you by grace. You don't deserve it. You didn't earn it. You can do nothing to keep it, and you can do nothing to lose it, because it's all his choosing. It's grace. It's grace. Grace. It's grace. It's grace. Nothing but grace. And if you don't get that, you're an older son. And that is not a bad place to be if you can get on your knees and repent. It is not a bad thing if right now you realize you are struggling with an older son heart condition. That's not a bad thing. Just get on your face and repent. Because the third condition of the older son is the dangerous one. He had a hardened heart. This parable ends with the older son having a hardened heart. He was the son that said, "Yes, God, I will do what you tell me." But at the end, he doesn't do it. He's the one who's not doing the will of the Father, even though he's the one who stayed home and was a good boy. He was scandalized by the grace the Father gave his brother to the point where he didn't want to have fellowship with his brother or his father because he didn't think either of them were good enough for his sense of morality. Even God wasn't good enough for the older son's morality because of grace. He stumbled and fell on grace. Listen to Luke 18, 10 to 14. I want to point out the word "I" to you. Listen to the older... Listen, it's Luke 18, 10 to 14. This is so important. This is Jesus masterfully teaching and weaving this together for us, and this is going to bring us there. In Luke 18, 10 to 14, listen to the older son heart condition in this Pharisee compared to this sinner. Jesus says, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector." Remember, the Pharisees are the older son, tax collector is the younger son. "The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself." Listen for the "I." This is the older son praying. "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." The younger son was selfish. He was rebellious, but he ended up broken. That famine brought him to his face because he was starving to death because of what his lawlessness, his licentiousness led him to. The older son was just as selfish in self-righteousness, just as rebellious in his entitlement, but he ended up hardened towards the Father and not willing to go inside to celebrate that which had been found. Who is the one who's doing God's will? The older son was supposed to be the hero of this story. Did you know that? The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost son, the lost son. Someone was supposed to go looking for the prodigal. That was the job of the older son. The big brother was supposed to go looking. This older son was supposed to be the hero of the story. Just like the Pharisees were supposed to be waiting for the Messiah, waiting for Jesus to lead people to the pronouncement that the Messiah had come. Church, we are supposed to be on mission to seek and to save that which was lost. But the older son was stuck in his heart condition, and he was more concerned about how he looked and that everything fit within his understandings. And he wouldn't be scandalized by grace. He was off mission. Jesus did this on purpose. He left us in the parable of the prodigal son with the why question. Why didn't the older son go looking? And that's my question for us. Why aren't we going out and going looking? Are we off mission? Who is going to demonstrate the heart of the Father to the next generation? We do not want to model the younger son heart or the older son heart. We need to hit the rock of Jesus Christ and break. Because only upon that rock can our hearts be broken sufficient enough to understand grace, to live by grace, to be on mission for grace, because we're only here by grace, and our only purpose is grace. Every breath you take is grace. If you think you're going to heaven, it's grace. And if you love Jesus, then you should believe you're going to heaven, have such an assurance that you can live by grace. Who is going to demonstrate the heart of the Father to the next generation? I'm going to end with this, and then we're going to come up and have a response time. Please hear this. This is going to totally reshape the way you read this parable for the rest of your life. At least the younger son had the decency to be honest about his rebellion. Shockingly, to our sensibilities and our former understandings of this parable, the younger son was the more honorable of the two sons because he was honest with himself, he was honest with God, and he was honest with others about his selfishness and his rebellion. The older son hid behind the appearance of being a good person, an obedient and dutiful son, but the whole time wanting his own way, wanting his own rights, wanting what he felt was coming to him. Someone pray for me. There is opposition in the house. Religion and morality can become a control mechanism for making life work out for you, just like rebellious living can be a control mechanism to make life work out for you. Both are an abuse of God's grace, and both are willful activities against the heart of the Father. Both are ways to be in control, but neither saves. Only through God's grace can you be saved. Today, here, I am inviting you to return to the heart of worship, who is Jesus Christ, the one who saves. Regardless of whether you find yourself feeling the connection with the younger son or the older son, today, God is inviting you to experience grace. Grace is free, and grace is available to you. Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Not so that you can become a self-righteous, morally superior person. And will you experience Jesus not so that you can live any way you want to live your life and think you're good anyways? But will you feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit today to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be set free by His grace free from your sin to live for righteousness, free from your sin so that you can go to heaven, free from your sin so you can experience peace and rest that comes from knowing that God is good and that He loves you no matter what. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, come, older sons, come, younger sons, and experience the grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, send your Holy Spirit upon our family, so that we can be united by grace. Lord, I pray that you would flood the altars. I pray, Father God, that you would bring people to repentance. For the only way to come to the Father is through repentance, through a faith that changes everything. And that is God's grace. Come. Come. In Jesus' name, come. Amen.